Chapter 14 Letters. In the cold gray morning, the sisters prepared for their mother's departure, and knowing that a real trouble had come, they turned to each other for support. They agreed to say goodbye cheerfully and hopefully, and send their mother on her anxious journey without crying or complaints. Everything seemed very strange when they went down to breakfast at such an early hour. Even Hannah's familiar face looked unnatural as she flew about her kitchen preparing. The bags were packed, and their mother sat at the table trying to eat, but looked rather pale and worn with sleeplessness and anxiety. Meg's eyes kept filling with tears. Jo was forced to hide her face, and the little girls had troubled expressions. Nobody talked much, but as the time drew near, Mrs. March said to the girls,
"Children, don't worry while I am gone, or think that you can comfort yourselves by doing nothing and trying to forget. Go on with your work as usual, for work will help. Hope and keep busy, and whatever happens, remember that you never can be fatherless."
"Yes, Mother."
"Meg, dear, watch over your sisters, and talk to Hannah or Mr. Lawrence if you are worried. Be patient, Jo. Don't get upset easily. Write to me often. And be my brave girl, ready to help and cheer us all. Beth, comfort yourself with your music, and be faithful to the little home duties. And you, Amy, help all you can. Be obedient, and be safe."
"We will, Mother. We will."
"Goodbye, my darlings,"
she whispered as she left, kissing each dear face before hurrying into the carriage. As the carriage went away, she looked back to see her four girls smiling and waving, and behind them, old Mr. Lawrence, faithful Hannah, and faithful Lori.
"How kind everyone is to us,"
she said as she turned around.
"I don't see how they couldn't,"
returned Mr. Brooke, smiling. And so the long journey began happily, with smiles and cheerful words.
"It seems as if half the house is gone," said Meg, after the girls had returned to the house.
Beth opened her lips to say something, but could only point to the clothes that Mother had mended, showing that even in her last hurried moments, she had thought and worked for them. It was a little thing, but they all cried bitterly over it.
"Now, my dear young ladies," said Hannah, after the girls had finished crying, "remember what your mother said, and don't worry. We must all work hard for when your mother and father return."
"Hope and keep busy," said Jo to herself. "I shall go to Aunt March's, though I know she'll lecture."
"I shall go to the King's, though I'd much rather stay home and attend to things here," said Meg.
"No need of that. Beth and I can keep the house perfectly well,"
Amy explained proudly.
"Hannah will tell us what to do, and we'll have everything nice when you come home," added Beth.
When Meg and Jo left, they looked back sadly at the window, where they were used to seeing their mother's face smiling at them. It was gone, but Beth had remembered, and there she was, smiling and waving.
"That's so like my Beth," said Jo cheerfully. "Goodbye, Meg. Don't worry about Father, dear," she added.
"And I hope Aunt March won't complain. Your hair is wonderful, and it looks very boyish and nice," returned Meg.
News from their father comforted the girls very much, as, though dangerously ill, the presence of his tender wife helped him greatly. Faithful Mr. Brooke sent a note every day, and as head of the family, Meg insisted on reading the notes, which became more cheerful as the week passed, and the girls were all eager to write as well.